This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place, whether you're in the mood for an adventurous evening of dance, news of an art contest that could lead to a college scholarship, or a stage drama where young women gear up for battle on the soccer field. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The Marigny Opera Ballet continues its season with Program 2, premiering three works. Two of them are based on 20th century European masterpieces, and the third celebrates New Orleans' own Louis Morrow Gottschalk. Artistic director Dave Hurlbert joins us with details.
Hey, Diane, Happy New Year.
And the same to you. If my radar is on target, the two works that are based on the 20th century European masterpieces are a mashup, maybe, of comedy and scandal?
I think that's a good way to put it. comedy part would be Pierrot Lunaire, and that is a rather dark comedy, I think. It's based on the 20th century masterpiece by composer Arnold Schoenberg, Pierrot Lunaire, which he wrote in 1912. The translation of Pierrot Lunaire would be sort of moonstruck Pierrot. Pierrot is a clown in the Italian Commedia dell'arte tradition, which goes back centuries. Featured clowns, strange characters and personalities, sort of a circus slash dance atmosphere. The work that Schoenberg wrote is quite challenging. It's for a small ensemble and for one singer, a soprano, who does a version of what's called Sprechstimme, which is half singing, half talking. So it's very incantatory all the way through. Marvelous little pieces. There are 21 tiny pieces in all in Pierrot. And they're all surrealistic. One of them has to do with Colombine, which is the woman that he's in love with. Some have to do with the flowers of the moon. Some have to do with homesickness. There are all kinds of short little stories that are put together into vignettes into this work. The choreographer is Rebecca Allen. This is her first work for the Marigny Opera Ballet. And our soprano soloist for Pierrot is Phyllis Tregel, a well-known local soprano who is now at NOCA. As far as the scandal, that would be Querelle. Querelle is another premiere with original music. We've commissioned a score from local composer Byron Asher. Giogo de Lima is the choreographer. Querelle is a story based on a scandalous French novel from 1947 called Querelle de Brest. And it is about, frankly, a drug-dealing, serial killer sailor in a small French port town.
Oh, my.
It takes place in sort of a nightclub brothel, and it gives sort of a mosaic of scenes from the life and actions of this sailor, Querelle. Querelle is for adults. There's nothing explicit or obscene in our production, but we are recommending that children under the age of 18 should probably not come to see Querelle. This is the first time we've done something like that. Usually we welcome kids to all of our productions. But I'm hoping adults will enjoy Querelle. It's an amazing new work. We have a third premiere.
Yes.
Gottschalk Suite, which is inspired by the music of Louis Moreau Gottschalk, who actually lived a few blocks from the Marigny Opera House back in the 19th century before he departed for Europe, where he became an international celebrity, composing music based on American traditional music, quite often Creole music. The Gottschalk Suite is three of his pieces. They're concert piano pieces. There's Pasquinade, which has sort of a cakewalk tempo to it. There's Bamboula, which is based on an old Creole tune. And there's the Grand Tarantelle, which is actually based on an old Sicilian folk dance. This is being choreographed by Derwin May Jr., who is a dancer in our company and also a choreographer. It'll be his first work to set on the company as well. The concert pianist who will accompany this is Catalin Lucas, who has performed at the Marigny Opera House frequently in the past.
This is going to be quite an experience.
Yes, indeed. There's a lot of moving parts to this one.
How did you go about choosing these specific works?
We are known for doing at least one new work in a production. Usually we have a premiere. To have three back-to-back that are so very different is unusual for us and quite complex. I would say this is our most complex program. It involves three very different dances, three very different choreographers, different groups of musicians, three different disparate sets of costumes for the whole thing, and it's all coming together. That's the miracle of the new year, I guess.
What would you say audiences will remember most from this triple bill?
I think what audiences are going to remember from this program is the range of what we can do, the range of what we can do musically, choreographically, aesthetically. We're using different sets, and it's quite a spectrum. The last production we did, Follies, which was a sold-out production from November, was quite a charming crowd pleaser. We had the New Leviathan Orchestra. It was an easy storybook plot. This is, I would say, the opposite. This is something that's deeper, more challenging to the audience, inviting the audience to get involved in the music. I would say it's a magical program. Pierrot is magic, the Commedia dell'arte on stage to this unearthly music. Carel is a vision of the small town of Brest on a French port in the 40s. And the Gottschalk Suite, I look at it like a perfume, you know, it's like this scent, this delicate scent of the 1840s that's still preserved in his music. And it's local music, written by a man living three blocks away.
That's incredible. Marigny Opera Ballet Artistic Director, Dave Herbert. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Diane.
The Marigny Opera Ballet presents Program 2, featuring the Gottschalk Suite, Carel, and Pierrot Lunaire. Performances run January 17th through 20th at the Marigny Opera House, 725 St. Ferdinand Street. In the interest of full disclosure, I am a member of the Marigny Opera House Foundation Board. Here's a heads up for aspiring young artists. If you are a Louisiana high school junior or senior, Blue Dog artist George Rodriguez Foundation of the Arts is hoping you'll enter its annual visual arts competition. In fact, the foundation would like you to search the galaxy for creative ideas for a winning entry that could lead to a college scholarship. But hurry, as the deadline to enter is fast approaching. Jacques Rodriguez is the son of the late Cajun artist George Rodriguez and executive director of the foundation. He joins us by phone. Hello, Jacques.
Hello, how are we doing today?
Hey, pretty good. You know, contests are always exciting. How are you honoring your dad's legacy with this contest?
You know, Dad always said that if he wasn't from Louisiana, he probably never would have started painting in the first place.
Oh, my.
So we're trying to inspire that next generation of artists to be creative and to get awards to go to college. And a lot of people think the arts are just about fluff, but all the research shows differently. And people that participate in art contests, you know, can go on to do anything they want in their careers. And so we've had winners that have become lawyers and doctors. And so that creativity and imagination really translates to anything that young students want to do.
So how does the contest work?
Every year we do a call for juniors and seniors across the state of Louisiana to enter. They go to our website, rodriguezfoundation.org, and upload a picture. And this year's themes is really special. It looks at the cosmos. Dad did a lot of imagery and paintings with swirls in them over the years. And he was always questioning, you know, existence. Where do we come from? Where are we going? Even with the Cajuns early on. And then, of course, with the Blue Dog, it was that whole idea of where are we going and what's life all about.
And you have some questions you'd like these young artists to think about when creating their original works?
You know, it's a pretty open and abstract theme. And so we don't want to say too much about what direction to go in. We just want to these young minds, to let us know about their place in the world and the cosmos and what do they think is important to them right now.
Who's eligible?
Juniors and seniors in high school. It's a total award of $45,000, and they're big awards. So first place is $6,000, second place $5,500, third place $5,000. And over the years, we've awarded over $300,000 in college scholarships to our winners. So it's a great way for us to keep Dad relevant and to make sure that future students understand Dad's impact on the state and how much he loved it, and to inspire them to maybe even have careers of their own in the arts.
What are the artwork requirements?
It's a visual art contest, so it's two-dimensional work. We don't accept photography or sculpture. The size of the works range from 11 by 14 to 18 by 24, and typically we want paintings, pastels, charcoals, graphite, pens, and it's really easy once the artwork is created to just take a picture of it and upload it to our website for judging.
How many finalists do you expect to have?
Typically, we get about 700 entries from across the state, and we narrow it down to the top 15 first-round finalists. And then what we do is invite those 15 finalists to an award ceremony in New Orleans at the Sheraton Hotel. And it's a really exciting day because everyone knows they've won something, but they don't know exactly what place yet. And so we get to invite the student, their families, their art teacher for a big celebration.
And how many students would you say have been helped by this contest?
Over 100 students over the years have won. It's really fascinating almost 10 years later to see these students and their careers. Some have become visual artists, and we've actually hosted shows for them with their professional work. Some are doctors, lawyers. It's a pretty wide gamut, and it's a big deal for these students to get that confidence that they can do whatever they want. Oftentimes, it's students who have never had an opportunity to even come to New Orleans. And so to bring them in, to open their eyes, and for them to get recognition at this level is really important for them. And to see their families and their art teacher proud of them, it's a really great experience.
Now, you said that not all who win go on to become artists. You talked about lawyers and doctors. What is it about art that helps them to succeed?
You know, I think the key for the next century is going to be imagination and creativity and trying to address problems in a new and interesting way. And if you're just studying to the test, which is trying to understand how to fill out a multiple choice questionnaire, you really don't get that skill set that it takes to understand that a lot of questions don't have just one answer. And so it's really important for these students to realize that they can think of new ideas, and that's what the world is going to need over the next century.
Is there a student or two that sticks out in your mind that you can tell us a story about?
The first winner definitely is my favorite, Sean Hicks. He was a student from Hackberry, Louisiana. He had no plans to go to college. He ended up winning a first-place scholarship, and he was so talented and got to go on to college, and he's a professional artist now, actually in the digital realm, creating video game art. So we're just so proud of him.
When is the deadline to enter?
So the deadline is January 18th to get these entries done and send them in. Again, it's really simple. Just take a photo of the work and upload it. Parents, grandparents, teachers, if you have a student in your life that you think may be interested, please encourage them to send us an entry.
Jacques Rodrigue, Executive Director of the George Rodrigue Foundation of the Arts. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Information on the art contest can be found online at georgerodriguefoundation.org. The deadline to enter, once again, is January 18th. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Southern Rep Theater's regional premiere of Sarah Dunlap's debut play, The Wolves, opens this week for a limited engagement. The work was a finalist for the 2017 Pulitzer Prize for Drama. Southern Rep's artistic director, Amy Hayes, will guide an all-female cast in this dramatic comedy as they gear up for battle on the soccer field. Amy is here. Welcome back.
Hey, Diane. Happy New Year.
And the same to you. This is a new work by a young playwright tackling complicated life issues on a soccer field. What attracted you to the work?
I played soccer, first of all, full disclosure, and I love sports, which most people know about me. And I think that teenagehood is one of the wildest parts of our lives that I think as soon as we get through, we sort of block it out or want to forget. And I love that this play takes us into essentially what goes on behind the closed door of the teenager. And what's so beautiful about the play to me is that I forgot this, that, you know, teenagers deeply care about issues. They care about love. They care about their feelings, their friends, and they feel things so deeply. So it sort of profoundly lets us remember that and also see it in ourselves as adults.
So this is a coming of age story?
I think so. Everybody on the soccer team is sort of at a different age. There's a couple characters who are still, you know, sort of romantic and watching videos and having slumber parties. And the other girl is like, I'm at my dad's ski house this weekend. He won't be there. There's going to be some alcohol. And so it's very different teen experiences.
So let's talk about what's being explored by these teenage girls who make up the soccer team.
Well, this is what's so refreshing about the play. The play opens and they're talking about Cambodia and the followers of Pol Pot and who is responsible for the genocide there. So they're talking about it, but in teenage language and teenage speak. They're not set up as foolish or idiotic. They care deeply and they're trying to understand the issues. And along the way, there's a lot of interplay, there's hijinks and lots of fun, and it's very funny. But what they're really digging at is what's their place in the world. And that's something we never lose as human beings, is where do I fit in the middle of all of this going on around me? It just makes you think about it differently through a young person's eyes.
Tell us about the cast. Who are these young warriors?
They are a very brave, awesome group of women. We had a soccer camp, so they did training. They've come together really as a team. It's a really eclectic group of talented actresses.
So what are some of the themes? Can you take us through the storyline and tell us how this play unfolds?
Sure. It's an unbeaten soccer team, indoor girls soccer team, high school team, that is on their way to fight for a spot at the nationals. And along the way, some of the young women experience disappointments. They have conflicts between one of the players who probably was the captain, and there's a new captain, and so there's conflict there. One of the characters is a great antagonist and is always teasing everybody mercilessly. There's lots of arguments about the First Amendment. You know, these are young women who want to be right and want to say the right things and do the right things. But just like we do now, you know, you can't say that. Yes, I can. No, you can't. And those kinds of parries back and forth are pretty important. It's not about teenage romance, really. That's a very side issue for one of the characters. For the most part, it's how they interact as friends and how do you negotiate being a young woman with a group of young women and come into your own.
So what do we learn about these young women, and what do they learn from each other?
The most important thing is how we love and support each other. That's how the play resolves. It's about friendship, and it's about letting people be different, letting people make mistakes, letting people come together. I just think that message is so important. At the end of the day, life is really short. So make the most of it and the people around you that love you.
Tell us a little about the playwright, Sarah DeLapp. Who is she?
Sarah is a really interesting young woman who's had early success and I think handled it really well. I love the way her mind works. She really knows how to set up a joke, and her writing is very spare, too. And so her wit is extreme. She gets to where we're going without beating us over the head with a message.
Now, in addition to the regional premiere of Sarah DeLapp's play, The Wolves, you have a big announcement about Southern Rep's new permanent theater home and the new main stage season. What's happening?
Yay! So we have been in what we're calling our housewarming period, where we've tried out all sorts of new programming on the Lanyap stage, our outdoor Hal Brown stage, the Care for Creatives program throughout the space, Mondays are a drag, and our main stage performances. This has shown us how the space functions, like what is the best way for it to work. So we have our grand opening and inaugural ball on January 19th, which is a Saturday night from 4 to 10 p.m. And it's going to be a celebration of everything that we do at Southern Rep. There's going to be food, music, art, dance, and lots more. It's free, open to the public. Dress is whatever makes you feel creative and fun and festive. You'll be able to see our new sanctuary bar, which will be completed by the Goodwood Milliners. And we'll be putting in some things for the Lanyap stage. And we're also unveiling our new website, which will help corral and easily show all of our audiences and supporters what's going on at Southern Rep.
And you're also going to give us a peek into some of the upcoming works on this season?
Yes, Troy Bechet will be performing some fabulous moments from Flowers for Haley, which is her play about Mahalia Jackson. So she'll be singing and performing. We'll have some Mondays are our drag performers happening. Liza Rose will be doing some circus performances. And we'll also have an interactive art space with the Care for Creatives program.
Southern Rep Artistic Director Amy Hayes, congrats on all your hard work.
Oh, thank you, Diane. That means so much. I appreciate it.
Southern Rep Theater presents the regional premiere of Sarah Gallop's award-winning debut play, The Wolves. The limited engagement runs January 9th through February 3rd at Southern Rep's new permanent home, located at 2541 Bayou Road in the former St. Rose de Lima Church. Southern Rep's official grand opening is Saturday, January 19th. More info is online at southernrep.com. That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Helles Foundation. Additional support comes from Christwood Retirement Community, the Contemporary Arts Center, and the New Orleans Opera Association. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.